My name's Tim. How are you going? Well, private firefighters, who are they? What do they do? I'd never heard of them until one of our producers introduced me to the concept this morning. A real live private firefighter is a fellow called Sean Bays, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Sean.
Morning.
So let's just go talk about you for a second first. You were born in South Africa, you live in Brazil, and you come over here for the fire season.
That's it.
Most Brazilians just hang out at Bondi Beach.
This is true. It's where I currently am at the moment on a week's holiday after 3 months of going strong. So
wow.
Yeah.
Now, you're a kind of mercenary firefighter, if I can put it that way, because you were doing private firefighting, and I'll let you explain it in a second, looking after forestry assets and the like. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. So I've been working for this private company for about 7 years now. And this is my second season out in Australia. I've done some prescribed burns and some other forest firefighting mitigation work, whatnot, around the world. And, yeah, we had a season out here last year and then back for another one. So we're put on a six-month contract to help protect forestry assets.
Now, you were fighting fires, specifically the Dunns Road mega fire. Is that true?
Yes, I've done a lot of work over the past 3 months on that specific fire, and then amongst others around Oberon and Jenolan Caves and a few other areas as well.
Okay.
Let's been deployment after deployment since November, basically. So
let's just talk about that Dunns Road mega fire around Batlow and Tumbarumba, because earlier in the show we were speaking to a couple who are from that area. One thing they didn't mention, because they're orchardists with apples and so on, is that there's a lot of pine plantations down there, and that's what you were protecting.
Yes.
How do you protect a pine plantation?
Well, what you can do is a lot of hazard reduction burns prior to the season, so that will get rid of a lot of the excess material underneath the canopy of the forests, amongst having fire breaks around it, and if it's direct suppression with the fire that's obviously coming towards the pine, then you just need to try and contain it as much as possible to keep it out of wherever it's trying to go. You know, if it's heading towards the pine, you need to do what you can to try and contain
yeah.
it, manage it.
And how did you go with that? Did you lose a lot of forestry assets, or what was the story?
Yes. So the company, the fires this season are a hell of a lot more hectic than many other seasons, let's say. I won't say any, but at least many other seasons. The fire behavior is a lot more erratic. It's a lot drier. Australia hasn't had a lot of rain in the region. So that just causes for a lot more hectic fire behavior, and obviously makes it a lot harder to control. And a lot of these fires, because of the sheer size of them, they're actually, I dare say, in a way, unstoppable, at least some of them, not the vast majority of them. So it's just a matter of trying to manage them as much as possible and protect as much asset as possible.
I did read at one point that even though some of the pine plantations had been burned, there would be the chance that some of the wood could still be harvested. Is that the case, or did I get my wires crossed there?
It all depends on how hardly it's been scorched. So if it's been way too severe and high intense burn, potentially they won't be able to salvage it. But it would be a rush for a lot of these forestry companies, because they will have to work out what they can salvage, and then they have a specific time frame to actually try get that harvested and to the mill to salvage what they can, because it's been burnt, it's going to start sort of rotting off as well.
Ah, because it's no longer alive. I wonder if it would kind of smell, if you know what I mean, like if you made a chair out of it, whether you'd get that kind of burnt smell. It might even be a selling point. I don't know how that works.
It will definitely be charred, no doubt.
I wanted to ask you about you. At one point, you did actually defend a property. Tell us about that and whether it was difficult and what happened.
Yeah, so that was quite a big fire. I mean, the Dunns Fire Road hit that region of Tumbarumba region and Batlow region around the 30th of December. And we had, quite a big front, the head of the fire coming through that region. And we had lost it, and it got into the pine where we didn't want it to. We had to evacuate, which I personally hadn't seen too much before this season. And this season I've been seeing a lot of it, us having to retreat sort of thing. Mm. And yeah, we were doing property protection on one of our crew members' house and watching the pine crowning with 50, 60 meter flame heights less than a kilometer away.
Wow.
And it chucking embers towards us and creating its own weather as it does when it gets, you know, to a very hectic situation.
What does that mean when you say it creates its own weather? I've heard people use that phrase, but can you just give us a bit more detail as someone who's seen it firsthand?
Sure. So when it starts creating as much heat as these catastrophic fires have been creating, it creates its own weather because you get so much variation of temperature and everything that it there's not a wind in one direction anymore. The wind is going in all directions, and it's so much heat that it's just doing its own thing, and it can actually become, you know, escalate into the skies and you know, create its own weather in a bigger magnitude, let's say.
Yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah, I understand. You listen to 2SER. My name's Tim. How are you going? Sean Bays is a South African originally. He lives in Brazil. He's a private firefighter. I hadn't heard of such a thing until this morning. He does basically different seasons in different countries, helping them with their fire effort. He's talking about defending pine plantations for private outfits here in Australia. He's talking about the Duns Road fire down in the Snowies, you know, Tumut, Tumbarumba, Batlow, that sort of area. Look, just one last question, Sean. And look, I know you're not a weather expert or an academic or whatever. You're a firing. You're very up close to fires. What's your take on the whole debate? We're having a big debate in Australia about whether we should have done more fuel reduction burns. That actually, it's about the drought and things like that. And other people are saying, no. This is climate change. It's very hot. And we're seeing places burn that would never have burned at intensities that, you know, in the past would never have burned at intensities we haven't seen before. What's your take on that whole debate?
That is quite a touchy topic. So I'll try to choose my words carefully. I suppose it's a bit ignorant for one to say that climate change has no effect in it. How much, it's hard to say. I mean, I'll leave that to the experts and the scientists. Mm. But, I mean, there have been reports that it is a little bit hotter all around the world. I mean, last year we hit hottest average day in the region there in Australia, and this year it surpassed it again, so it's hit record again for the hottest day. And I suppose every X amount of years, every country will have a more fire-prone season, and this happens to be the one that is happening now. So, I mean, hazard reduction burns could actually make a big difference, but the way the season is going, I mean, it was a lot of stuff is going to burn anyways, and it's going to be a hectic season regardless.
Are they the worst fires you've ever seen in 7 years?
Yes, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, putting in a few back burns and everything and just watching the fire behavior and how quickly it's flaring up this season has just been unreal. I mean,
it's interesting stuff. Lovely to talk to you, Sean Bays. Thank you so much for talking to us just on your week off. I really appreciate it. And we'll let you get back to Bondi.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.